sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
One of the most fascinating and fun things to watch as an adult is kids on a playground. Because they're playing together, they're mad at each other, they're hugging each other in the next minute, they're inviting themselves over for a sleepover without talking to their parents. Children, when we're children, because we were that way once too, or at least many of us were, when children have an ability to relate to one another with vulnerability and transparency and immediacy. And there are ways that we as mature adults can learn from immature toddlers on the playground when it comes to engaging in relationship and deepening relationship with others in the Lord. That's what we're going to be talking about today on Ignition. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we want to set your faith ablaze so that you might live the adventure that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we get into today's topic, we want you to know that, as always, we love listener feedback. So if you got questions about today's episode or ideas for future episodes, please contact us. The easiest way to do so is by email. And the address, Tracy, is...
Oh, I don't remember.
Tracy! Already... Ignition at sfcatholic.org. It's the name of the show, Tracy.
I can just leave.
Ignition at sfcatholic. We might as well make this a solo episode at this point where it's just me. Ignition at sfcatholic.org is the email address. Please feel free to reach out with questions about today's episode, why I'm such a jerk to my co-hosts, or ideas for future episodes. This voice or face, if you're watching, it belongs to Tracy Austin. Tracy Austin, who are you?
Hello.
And what do you do?
I am a daughter of the diocese. I'm newly married to my husband, Wesley, and I work in town as a campus minister for college students. Our ministry functions out of Christ the King Parish.
Sioux Falls.
But yes, in Sioux Falls, but we're a citywide, all college students in Sioux Falls are welcome. So we function as if we were a Newman Center for the city. So it's really fun. I love college students. They're at a wild time in their life where the independence is rising, and so is the curiosity in their life and why they matter. It's an awesome time to encounter people. I love it.
That's awesome. Why? Before we get into our topic for today, why are you doing this? Why do you
why
do what you
I
do?
Why am I doing college? Oh, wow. Probably a big part of it is because I met Jesus Christ in college, and I think it changed my life, obviously. I was a freshman. I was 18. And then I had the rest of college to be surrounded by an amazing community, great priests, great friends, and I learned how to pray, and I grew in my formation, and I prayed in community, and I prayed alone, and that helped me be ready for just life after college. And I mean, one, I just love it, and I've just kept doing it, and God hasn't told me to do otherwise. But also, I think because it was so transformative for me, I know that it's a place that I can meet other students. But I've just been really spoiled with really great influences and teachers, and especially the priests that I've walked with. So I love staying with college students.
Gotcha. That's a great answer. I mean, there's not a wrong answer. I was curious why.
Sure.
Why this is something that's still, because you were a focused missionary before that for a number of years. So this is still a form of ministry that really speaks to your heart. So I was just curious about why. Great. I already teed up a little bit. So whatever, what's the next metaphor? Once it's teed up, why are we talking about this topic? Yeah. Would you step into the batter's box? Why are we talking about this topic that we're talking about? Sort of look into the playground rules, I think is how, when you and I were talking about this, you described it.
Yeah, like the playground rules of evangelization or living mission. I think it's been on my heart a lot with Set Ablaze for just adults of any age evangelizing, but also I see the struggle with college students as well. But I think the reason we struggle with even the idea of all of us are supposed to live mission, I don't know how to evangelize, I'm not a trained speaker. I think it's because we forgot playground rules. We just forgot how to be children. Because when we talked about this before the episode, we said when a child sees another child, they say, I like your light up shoes. Those are pretty cool. Do you want to go swing? And then they're best friends.
Right.
That's it. They didn't should we get coffee? And
right.
I'll gradually reveal parts of my personality that I'm hiding at first. Think you might think it's weird. And then in 3 months, I'm like, I like this show. I was afraid to tell you. But children, like you said, they're so vulnerable for sure, but they're just so free.
Yes.
They're just like, well, I like swinging. Let's swing.
Yep.
And I think as we grow, we get more self-consciousness and we have a lot going on and there's a lot on our mind and we want to come off as professional and
yep.
very cool and put together.
Mature.
Very mature. Especially when you're, 40s, 50s, 60s, we don't ever want to seem embarrassed. It's,
right.
It's a weird human feeling, no matter how old you are.
Yep.
But I think for us to just relearn the simplicity of when we think of, okay, I've seen that person at Mass almost every week. I see they have kids the same age as my kids, maybe, or they wear this logo on their jacket, and I know that I like that team too. What can I do instead of, I have to like evangelize them? How can I not just say, man, go Pack Go. What's your name? I love the Packers.
Oh my gosh.
That was
my version of that would be, so tell me why the Packers, because I just don't get it. That would be my, no, go ahead.
I am not a Packers fan. This is merely an example.
Thank you.
I think, usually I go up to people and say, where did you buy this dress? Because I just stare at people's clothes during Mass when I should be praying. But also, I think when people have young children, I think the big easy one is, wow, our children look like they're about the same age. Do you want to talk after Mass? Like donuts and coffee is happening. Do you have a good daycare in town? What do you like as far as this type of, that's just a natural connection. But it doesn't have to be that, like, it can just be, yeah. Man, I see you here every week. What's your name? Oh, that's so cool. What do you like to do? Interesting. It was good to meet you. I'll see you next week. And it can just be a slow build.
Right.
You don't have to spend an hour after Mass.
So I do think, right. So this is, there's a number of things that you're touching on that just, I preach, sister. I think part of it is this, that when we hear evangelization, I think a lot of us as Catholics still have this idea that it's like really entering really quickly, really deeply into really deep religious kind of quote unquote philosophical conversation about somebody. And that's just not how it normally goes, because that's not organic, frankly. In a way, it's not human. Now, some people have a gift where you can just do that. But for most of us, no, just the normal progression. Have you ever heard of the movement of the Church of Curcio?
I've heard of it. Movement? I don't know much about it.
So they have, I know friends who've been in Curcio for decades, and it's not the motto, but to be in Curcio means, or what do you do as a member of Curcio? Make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Jesus.
Mm.
Make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Jesus. And that's to me, in many ways, that's what for the vast majority of us, evangelization is all about. Most of us are working, to use one of the metaphors, the images that Jesus uses in the Gospels and one of his parables. Most of us, the plot of the vineyard that we're supposed to work is the one we're standing in.
Yeah.
You know, so who am I supposed to evangelize? The people who you already know around you, probably.
Yeah.
Don't worry about, going off to sub-Saharan Africa or Saudi Arabia or the Far East, Far Asia. No, just where you're at for most of us is what you're called to, who you're called to reach. And how do you do that? You don't have to become an expert in the Bible. You don't have to immediately, you've been saved, or whatever the Catholic version of that would be.
Right.
It's, hey, what's your name? If you don't, hopefully, if you know who they are, I would recommend, if you know them, don't start that way. That's going to be really confusing, and that's going to be awkward. Don't do that. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's so true. And even when you said, is it make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Jesus? When you said that, I felt myself exhale, because I know how to do that.
Right.
I know how to make a friend.
Yeah.
But it scares me when I think, the word mission or evangelization in my mind draws up stopping someone on a sidewalk and being so the reason we kneel during the consecration, I am Catholic and I love the Eucharist and I would hate that. I don't feel loved or known.
Right.
But the person you run into a couple times a week at the same coffee shop, or the person in the cubicle next to you, you happen to take lunch at the same time. It's so simple. Just, what did your weekend look like? Oh, it was great. Really, really relaxing Saturday. Went to Mass Sunday morning. That was lovely. And then, didn't do much after that. That alone is a good seed. And maybe in 3 more months, they say, man, I've really been thinking about finding a church community in town. Oh, wow. yeah, I would love to take you to my church some week if you want. It doesn't have to be, yeah, and here are my views on abortion.
Right.
And here are my thoughts on this.
Right.
Like, no,
right.
It's just sharing about your life.
This is the proper exegesis for John 6. What have you been thinking the entire life?
Right.
No, it's, yeah, yes, yes.
Right.
So what you just said, so testify, right? So offer your testimony. Well, it can be. Well, in 1994, in October, I was walking across campus.
Right.
And I was stopped telling your story. But testimony is also, yeah, I went to Mass on Sunday or I went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just this little. And that's because it's also not meant to be manipulative. Well, I'm going to secretly. No, just be yourself. But
that's
an easy example of how to bear witness to our faith is, yeah, what did you do on your weekend? Include church. You don't have to be weird about it. Like, I went to Mass. Now, what that is, this is where it's a representation of the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In which we're at, no, I went to church and got brunch with some friends,
yeah,
the kids and I, blah, 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 blah.
And that's so easy. And it's the truth.
I
went to Mass. I didn't have to prepare a script to tell this person I went to Mass this weekend.
Right.
Just running through, like, actual things I did, which is a testimony.
Like, yes.
Was it a reading in the last few weeks in Mass? The blind man who's healed. And beautiful, miraculous story. But the next several passages are just different groups of people going, aren't you the blind guy? Why are you walking with your eyes open? And him going, I'll say it again. I don't know, but he said his name was Jesus, and now I can see.
Yeah.
That's all he doesn't say. So I believe he's the Son of God, the Messiah we've been waiting for. And what happened? He just says, I don't really understand it either. I heard him say his name was Jesus, and now I can see.
Yep.
That's a testimony. You don't have to know the history of everything. It's like, I went to Mass this weekend. And if by some really cool chance they say, oh, are you Catholic? That's not going to happen a lot. But if they say, wow, why are you Catholic? Then you can say, like, well, at first I was just raised Catholic. I didn't really think otherwise. But in college, it really, I don't know, it got to be more serious for me. I started to pray, and I just really want God to be like a normal part of my week and my day. That is already like a beautiful thing to share and not that deep or big Latin words. Just, I don't know.
Right.
God's really important to me. And then a really easy opportunity to go, how about you? What's your like experience with God?
Right.
Which again, if that happens, not a lot of people are going to say, wow, tell me about your church. That doesn't happen a lot. But if it does, what a great window. You know?
Absolutely. So then the last thing you said, or what you just asking questions.
Yeah.
You know? So tell me about you. And it, there's all sorts of ways where asking questions is a really effective way to engage in relationship with other people.
Yeah.
But to me, this is an easy one. Yeah. So what's your story? Like, what did you do this weekend?
Right.
I mean, that's just making a friend and being a friend and open to the possibility of leading them to Jesus.
Yeah. A friend.
Thoughts on any of that?
A friend, not a Catholic speaker or a priest trained in theology, is a friend. I think that's like so much less pressure. You don't suddenly have some authority in their life. You're just letting them know that, yeah, I went to Mass this weekend.
Right.
And when they ask you next Monday, they're going to realize a pattern's happening. And like, wow, my coworker must actually kind of be a faithful person. That's interesting. Good to know.
Yep.
And it'll build.
Yep. And so similarly, along these lines, I think sometimes another misperception that we have is evangelization. So, oh my gosh, like I'm talking to Tracy, but does the Lord, am I responsible for like saving her soul? Okay.
Oh, the pressure.
The Lord, right. chillax. Just take it easy. Take a deep breath. The Lord loves Tracy more than you do. And the Lord has not pinned all of his hopes for Tracy's salvation on you. You are one of many people that the Lord is bringing into Tracy's life right now. Do your part. And maybe your part is only ever going to be to talk about how what you did over the weekend, including going to Mass and on occasion confession.
Right.
I also think we have this misconception that I am the person who's supposed to get them from 0 to 60 in 5.2 seconds.
Right.
Or 5.2 years. Regardless, no, maybe my job is just to be a witness of a normal person who regularly goes to church.
Right.
And then there's going to be somebody else who's in Tracy's life who is going to be able to answer the questions about John chapter 6 that I, just because me and my faith right now, I don't know how to answer those questions when she asked them, but Steve does. I don't know if Steve exists, but I believe there's a Steve in Tracy's life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, so turn the Lord's the Savior, not me. Mm-hmm. My job is just to do my part, which might be for 10 years or 10 months or a lifetime. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not for me to worry about.
And that, again, what a load off our shoulders. Right. And not that it's an excuse to not bring up these little tiny nuggets of faith in water cooler conversation, but you planting that small seed, maybe in 40 years, they have some radical encounter with Christ. They have other people in their life who answer their questions. Maybe they just become like such a committed Catholic. Part of their conviction in that moment is going to be, now that I'm reflecting on my life, my friend Chris that I worked with like back in the 2000s, he was like a faithful Catholic. And there was something about him. I always liked him. And like those little seeds matter so much.
Yep.
Even if a big moment never comes in conversion,
right,
those seeds add up.
They do. They do.
And it's so important.
Amen. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Ignition. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, talking today with Tracy Austin about playground rules for evangelization. I really love that as a description. We're talking basically how we can learn from kids about, as if the person's not really a strong believer of any sort. But that's true of anybody along any stage of their faith journey.
That's true. I'm even thinking if you've been friends or maybe like loose acquaintances with someone for a few years, like your next door neighbor who you run into when you're both happening to work on the lawn, but you're not close. Those friendships can grow over the years and they can become, oh yeah, we're heading out to, it's Good Friday, so this is like a different time of day than I usually go to church, different time of the week. Do you have like a church community in town? I'm realizing I've never asked you. We've lived next door for 20 years.
Yeah.
But like there's freedom in that. And it's not, I don't think it's embarrassing to be like, oh gosh, I can't out of the blue bring up Jesus. Like you're not even bringing up Jesus. You're bringing up the time you go to church. It's a very calm topic. Just like maybe you see each other out on a jog at the same time. You kind of just know.
Yep.
Friends that you sometimes talk about serious things, but it gets kind of awkward to start make the transition to say, yeah, I was just praying this morning. It was really relaxing. Do you ever like pray, like have silent prayer at home? It's hard for me. Do you have any experience with that? That could be a little intro. And that sounds scary, but I don't know. If we never ask each other these questions.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay, there's the imagined worst case scenario and there's the realistic worst case scenario.
Right.
The imagined worst case scenario is, what is your, I cannot believe you asked me that.
Slap.
Yeah, like, I'm never talking to you again, you freak.
Yeah.
The realistic worst case scenario is, no, that's not really my thing.
Yeah, and it's a little awkward for a second. And then you go, did you catch the game last
night? Yeah, exactly. Right. We were talking about along similar lines, frankly, in last week's episode, just talking about how to engage strangers in mass who might be in a different state of life or vocation than you, or people that you see, but the importance of establishing relationships with people for the sake of the body of Christ. Similarly here, for the sake of evangelization, growing the body, strengthening the body of Christ, it's the importance of doing this. Another thing that you mentioned a while ago, you talked about the importance of being loved and known. Use those two words. I don't know if you realized you use those two words, but I think that is such an important part of what I would consider evangelization as well. Years ago, I came across reference to a study. The average adult American goes throughout their workday without a meaningful interaction with another human being. They may have lots of interactions. For me, I think of the grocery store checkout clerk. They have a lot of interactions, but they're not typically meaningful. So for us to see people and for them to know that they're seen, that they're to some degree known, they're seen, that they're loved, even though they may not recognize the depth of, I think it's such an important thing.
Yeah. And that makes it not fake. I think sometimes because evangelization seems scary and it seems like a thing that impressive people do, I think that I have to make myself impressive and really put on this face of, Yes, hello, welcome to church. I am very comfortable at church, and I want to tell you all about that. And I think we feel like we have to be a little bit fake because only someone this nice would be fake. And I think really just like, how do you talk to your close friends who you already love? That's the way you could approach the stranger. I think of the same thing when I pull up to leave an intersection and there's a homeless person there. I don't frequently have cash on me and I'm not as good as I should be at keeping like granola bars in the car or something. Something I try to do, and I can't remember who encouraged me to do this, I try to make eye contact and smile. Yes. And it's not like, oh, they're cured. They totally have warmth and shelter tonight. No, I'm aware it doesn't do that. But so many people, out of the discomfort, don't look at them.
Yep.
Pretend they can't see them.
I'm one of them.
And they're uncomfortable because they're begging.
Yep.
And I'm uncomfortable because they remind me that there's people that don't have a car and a house. And we're all just so uncomfortable that I try to fight it and just look at them and maybe a little wave, maybe a smile. They almost always wave and smile back. And it's just this little moment of like, unfortunately, all I can give you right now is this, but I want you to feel known and loved. And I think we're just as lonely when we're heading to our weekly pew on Sunday morning and we kind of keep our head down and we're like, okay, we'll get, this will be a good hour. It's for the Lord and I'm going to go home.
Yep.
And we avoid the other people, of the person to the right who intimidates me because they look holier, and the person with all the kids and I feel bad because, like, I don't know, they're such a good parent and I feel like I'm not. All this, I guess we're still children in that we're super self-conscious all the time.
Yes.
I think. But I think if we're approaching it as, oh, how would I feel known and loved, or to make this person feel known and loved in this brief conversation, I think we'd be a lot more chill about it.
Yep.
And not so formal.
Yep.
And I think that's how I want to be talked to. That's what makes me understand it more, is if someone talks to me after Mass the way that I think I have to talk to others, I think I'd feel more uncomfortable, like, ooh, maybe I won't come back to this church.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the freedom to be just very yourself.
Yep.
Very loving.
What do you think about the scenario where, so maybe I've got a, so I'll give you a real world example. So I've got a number of friends from high school, which is a long time ago for me, Tracy, who I still keep in touch with. But I had a really serious conversion, a dramatic conversion in college.
Sure.
So I'm a different person. I'm still Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But my faith is obviously a lot more important to me, became a lot more important to me than it had been previously. Thoughts on how to relate to other people who already are friends, but faith is not really a part of your conversation, because maybe it's my scenario where, well, now faith has become important to me, and it's not really to them. Or maybe it's just a friendship that's already always been there, but you've just never really talked about your faith
before. Yeah. I like to begin by saying I'm very bad at that and I'm working on it. It's something that I feel how uncomfortable I am with. Oh, these are the friends I'm with. We don't ever talk about faith. I usually pray before I eat, and here we are about to eat.
Yes. Yeah.
I know. I can just pray silently in my head. I don't have to make the sign of the cross. That'd be pretty weird. Like, I just, I get red and uncomfortable. But I think still being yourself with them, of like, if we usually talk about the sport that we catch up on or the thing that we all like, to still talk about that and be myself, but to not sacrifice. Well, yeah, almost always when I pray before I eat, I make the sign of the cross. I don't think, like, the worst case scenario, I don't think they'll throw my food and be like, get out of this restaurant. You're not the Tracy I know. Right. I think they'll be maybe a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe it's good that they're like, oh, wow, she's praying and I'm uncomfortable because I haven't prayed in years. I don't know. I, like, what a weird experience with faith that maybe they've had. So maybe I'm one of the first normal people they'd consider a friend who they've ever seen also pray. Maybe that's good. And at the very least, maybe it's a little awkward, and then you just keep talking about sports or whatever.
Right.
And it's a fine dinner.
Because, again, you're friends. You're already, it's not, you know, you're not like, because I was just playing out, like you said, there's the imagined worst case scenario in that instance. But this is my friend who I've known for years, maybe decades. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to totally abandon our friendship because I prayed silently in public and made the sign of the cross.
Right.
If they are, then, well,
yeah,
but that's not going
to
happen, right?
No, like, yeah, you briefly mentioned you went to Mass on Sunday and I'm through with this 30-year friendship. Like, right. Well, then what kind of friendship was
right,
this?
Right, right, right.
Which it'd be the same. I would dare to say it'd be the same if suddenly my friend is sharing with me something that I would feel as a Catholic is sinful. Maybe they, we're going to move in together and we're not engaged or married. I'm not going to be like, well, we're through because I'm a Catholic. Like, I'm going to be really disappointed and sad. I likely, when it's prudent, will say, tell me more about that. I've heard that that can be really hard, like on a marriage later, if you live together before. Tell me, like, what brought you to that decision? I'm, as your friend, I'm curious. Maybe that conversation happens, but I wouldn't be like, well, now that you're not doing exactly the things that I do, this friendship's over.
Right.
Much
right.
Like they wouldn't be like, oh, you pray over your food now? Weirdo.
On the point of remaining friends, even when people are maybe making poor decisions.
Sure.
I'm reminded of the Road to Emmaus story from Luke 24. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite scriptural example, paradigm for mm-hmm. accompaniment, because Jesus accompanies these two disciples in different ways. But one of the things Bishop Barron, in one of his talks years ago, pointed out, I was listening to this talk and just made a point that stuck with me. These two disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're going the wrong way. And it's and it's moving towards evening. It's the wrong time of day because you don't want to be traveling when it gets dark, certainly at night in the ancient Near East, because there's no sin, though they're going the wrong way. Mm. Now, he's not participating in their despair, their lack of faith.
Right.
So we don't need to join in and enable, but we can still remain friends with people, even in that circumstance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got about a minute left, Tracy. Any other thoughts in terms of playground rules for evangelization? Anything maybe to keep in mind or a takeaway for people? A call to action. What should our listeners and viewers do because of this conversation?
Yeah, I think what we've said several times, be at peace. Like, you can just be yourself and be a child, childlike, not childish. That's the phrase, right? Yep. But I think with that, we can be just as free as a child is, that if it does get really awkward, like we try to talk to someone and it's just horrible and you feel weird. Yeah. Have you seen a child do that? I've had some children say some pretty rude things to me and I've been, wow. And they are just like, well, time to go play.
Yeah. Like,
they just let it fly by and like, yeah, feel your feelings, Amen. But know that like, yeah, well, that was pretty awkward. Millions of humans have been Done uncomfortable that. Before and I will try next time. And it's just
That's
to
awesome.
Be free. Yeah.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yes.
And folks, that wraps up the episode. We'll see you next time. May God bless you.